You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with co-host Pat Traina of probably a zillion different places, and about which I will just recommend that you follow at Patricia_Traina to find her on Twitter and figure it out from there. How you doing today, Patty?
I'm doing great. I took
the easy way.
I know.
So we have been previewing the Giants training camp, which starts in just a few days. We've been going position by position through the roster, and today we have reached the final position. Not to say that it's the least important, but it was the final one that we're going to get to, and that would be special teams, which we will look at as a whole. Patty, you know, the one thing that I will say about the Giants special teams, I was looking at the stats, you know, by and large the other day for something I did at Big Blue View about special teams, and I couldn't find anything good about anything the Giants did on special teams last year.
You know, we often use the cliche how special teams was not very special. And if there was ever a year that statement was true, it was last year. And just how bad was it? I'll read off a few stats for you folks. 31st in field goal percentage, Aldrick Rosas converting 72% of his attempts. 32nd in extra point percentages with an 87% conversion rate. 32nd in net punting, 38.6 yards per punt. 28th in kickoff returns with a whopping 19.6 yards per return. 31st in punt returns, 5.5 yards return. 14th in kickoff coverage, allowing 20.5 yards per return. And 27th in punt coverage, 10.4 yards allowed per return. Not very special
at all, Patty. And you know, I'm thinking about the way that the Giants have reconstructed the 90-man roster that will come to training camp. And Dave Gettleman, you know, when he began his tenure as GM, he talked about fixing the offensive line. But one of the other things that they've done sort of maybe under the radar, maybe not so much under the radar, but one of the other things that they've done, and I think it was intentional, is they have brought in, you know, a number of guys led by Michael Thomas who have been quality special teams players throughout their careers. Not only did they change, you know, did they get rid of Brad Wing and bring in two new punters to compete for that job, but they have brought in several guys, Michael Thomas, Cody Latimer, you know, a bunch of the guys that are competing for cornerback roles, who have done really well on kick and punt coverage units during their careers.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big part of it because, you know, any punter, any kicker will tell you that he's only as good as the coverage guys around him. And, you know, I wonder if, you know, given all the injuries that the Giants had last year, you know, people say that special teams is one of the easiest jobs to coach. I think it's one of the hardest jobs. And I'm in no way trying to defend Tom Quinn, who, you know, was the longtime special teams coach, a guy who I often thought wasn't creative enough or innovative enough. At times, the unit just didn't look prepared for certain things. But, you know, you have to make do with what you get. And you have to understand what you have at the positions in your players. And I just didn't feel as though the special teams developed any cohesiveness. But injuries aside, you know, because they are going to happen and it's going to necessitate, you know, maybe pulling a core special team or maybe you need that guy to, you know, to step in I don't know, perform on offense or defense or whatever. But you have to have more cohesiveness, and it just seemed like all too often special teams looked like a mixed puzzle with no rhyme or reason to it, and it was very disheartening to watch.
Sure it was, Patty. You know, there were times over the years where it seems like the Giants got caught flat-footed on special teams. They got caught ready or not ready for certain situations. But, you know, the thing that I remember having a conversation, you know, one year with Steve Weatherford when he was the Giants punter. And he said, look, look at the way, and it was a year when the Giants had had a rash of injuries. And toward the end of the season, they weren't covering punts and kickoffs very well. And he said, look, he said, you know, we're bringing guys off the street. We're bringing in free agents. We're bringing in guys who have never done this before, haven't been in the league or have been out of the league for a while. And these guys really don't understand, you know, what it is that they're being asked to do. And I think that that's what the Giants have tried to create here is no matter who they wind up keeping on the roster, they're trying to create a situation where you're not teaching guys how to play special teams on the fly, where you have guys who have done this before, who understand kick coverage, who understand punt coverage, and are able to do that, you know, who aren't being trained as they go, in other words, to try to do that job.
Yeah, and you know what? People also sometimes forget special teams is so important. It's one third of the game. It determines your starting field position on offense and for the defense. And, you know, you wonder, you know, when you have to ask the offense to drive the length of the field, especially when you have an offense that was struggling the way the Giants did, you know, I don't think special teams helped them out very much. And, you know, you go back and you look at the games that they could have won had special teams stepped up, and I think there were maybe two of them, maybe three, and it was just disheartening to watch the whole thing play out.
Sure. Well, you know, you quoted a bunch of stats, you know, at the top of the show, Patty, and one of the stats for me, you talk about field position. The Giants gave up basically 10.5 yards per punt return. And they averaged 5.5 yards per punt return, which means every time you exchange punts, you're giving up 5 yards of field position. So you're going backwards. That's making it harder on your offense and harder on your defense. And it's really an underrated, underappreciated part of the game. But that field position is incredibly important. I mean, and let's be honest. If you want to spin to actually talking about the kickers, it's kind of important to make your extra points, too. And the Giants didn't do that as well as they should have a year ago.
Yeah, that was a big, big disappointment. You know, the problem that I saw when I broke down Aldrick Rosas's performance, first off, the kid has an amazing leg. And one of the things I know I wrote about in the summer was I was impressed with how this kid had ice water running through his veins. I mean, nothing bothered him. It was him versus the goalposts, and, you know, he was determined to beat the goalposts every time. And then somewhere along the line during the season when you know, he missed the kick, I think, it, at least to me, it looked like it got into his head, and it lived there a little longer than it needed to. And I can remember talking with him and saying, hey, man, you've got to have the cornerback mentality. You know, you get burnt, you forget about it, you move on to the next play. You can't let it fester. And he understood it, but I just wonder if it was easier said than done for him, because, you know, the streak, or I should say the slump that he was in, escalated and carried over week to week before he finally snapped out of it. And I would hope that when he comes back for training camp that he has learned to master that part of the game. Again, it's a very tough part. You know, it's the you know, the mental side of it, but it goes with the territory. And if you're going to go out there and do the pressure kicks, then you better be able to also handle when things go wrong and adjust accordingly.
Sure, Patty. You know, I think we have to remember this was a rookie who did his collegiate kicking in the NAIA. I mean, Thomas McGahee, the new special teams coach, I asked him about Rosas in the spring, and he said, look, this is a really talented kid who can do some things with the football that other kickers can't do. He said, we're not going to give up on that talent. You know, for Rosas, I think you're absolutely right. It will come down to the mental side of the game. You're going to miss a kick once in a while. You're going to knock a kickoff out of bounds, or you're going to hit one badly. You have to be able to bounce back from that, you know, not let it fester. You know, the situation around Rosas wasn't very good all year anyway, and you wonder how much that bothered him just with, you know, he had a couple of kicks blocked. As we talked about, the Giants had difficulty, you know, covering kicks. So you wonder how much all of that played into it as well. But for Rosas, it's the mental side of the game, you know, that will determine whether he's a successful kicker or not. And to be honest, at this point, I'm expecting him to open the season as the place kicker.
I think so, too. I would be kind of surprised. Now, of course, let's see how he does in the summer. He does have competition in Marshall Cohen, who, interestingly, is another untested kicker. But, you know, the thing about kickers and punters is, you know, you can plug and play them in at any point because, you know, they have one job, and that's to kick the ball. I mean, it's not like they have to memorize scheme or execute scheme or anything like that. So, you know, people say, well, gosh, why haven't the Giants addressed the kicker situation yet? They want to see what Rosas brings. You know, you talk about clean slates. Everybody got one. You know, people were ready to run Eli Apple out of town on a rail, if you remember, and Apple got a clean slate, and he stepped up in the spring. So, you know, why not extend that to Rosas? Because, like you said, McGahee praised Rosas for his strong leg, and you just don't give up on that kind of talent, and just see what you have in him.
Sure. Patty, let's talk about the punter competition or the punter situation a little bit. The Giants let Brad Wing go after an awful year last year. You know, I always liked Brad Wing. I thought he was a terrific guy. He was a good guest on our previous show. He was a talented punter, but he was more inconsistent, I think, than anybody really wanted to admit. And last year was rough for him. You know, they brought in Riley Dixon. They traded the conditional draft pick to Denver for. And then they've brought in Tyler Seamank. I mean, my guess at this point is that's a pretty much open competition. I would think that Dixon's couple of years of experience would give him maybe the inside track, you know. But again, that's a competition that will be an interesting one to watch during camp.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ed. And, you know, not a lot of people wrote about the punter competition because, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot to write about, but when we did see the punters do their thing, I don't know about you, but I thought Riley Dixon was a little inconsistent. Now, you know, there's a theory that when you kick in high altitude, generally you do a little bit better because the air is thinner. I'm not an aerodynamics expert or physics expert, so I can't really speak to that. I know that, but that it's a theory. But I looked at Dixon. I didn't see consistency, and I have to wonder, you know, did he help himself or did he hurt himself, you know, because like you said, it is an open competition. And then also attached to that, as we know, the Giants gave up a conditional 7th-round pick to Denver. Now, the condition was never disclosed, but I would be willing to bet that the condition is that Dixon make the 53-man roster out of training camp. I would think that is the condition. So there is a possibility that if the Giants don't get Dixon on board, you know, if he doesn't make the roster, that they will get that pick back.
Sure, Patty, which is one thing in Seamank's favor. You know, if it becomes a close competition, is, you know, the opportunity to keep that 7th-round pick. We didn't really see enough of him because he signed pretty late in the spring. We only saw a little bit of him. I think perhaps in the mini camp we saw a little bit of him kick. So it's hard to make a comparison between the two guys at this point. We'll have to see what happens in the practices and in the games. Dixon has the reputation of being more of the directional guy. You're absolutely right. I think we have to see what he does, you know, in the weather conditions a little bit, or away from Denver, you know, how well he kicks the ball. C-Mank, I think, you know, from my research, comes with the reputation of being more of the guy with the big leg, but the guy who maybe you're never quite sure exactly where the ball's going to go. So we'll have to see how that plays out, you know, as the competition rolls through training camp. I don't know about you, Patty. It's just I feel better. Like, I feel better about a lot of things with this Giants group. I feel better about the way that the organization is being run from the top down at this point. I'm more confident this year that the Giants will put together some special teams units that will help them. You know, more so than every time they run out there, you cross your fingers that they don't do something that's going to kill them.
Yeah, I think there's nowhere to go but up for that unit. And, you know, the kickers, that's only part of it. You know, we talked a little bit about the coverage. Zach Diassi is returning for, what's this now? He was drafted in 2007.
About his 700th year or so?
Yeah, come on now, he's not that old. At least he'll tell you he feels like he's 100, but he's not that old. So he's returning to bring some, you know, stability to that. Still pretty good, you know, one of the first guys down there. I think the next big question mark is who's going to do the return game. Now, on kickoffs, given how they keep changing the rules of kickoffs, I question whether it even matters who's the kickoff returner, because, you know, ideally your kicker is going to get the ball into the end zone or out of the back of the end zone, and you're not going to have a return anyway. But punt return, that's going to be a big one. And I think initially they're going to start out with Cody Latimer. I think he's going to be one of the leaders.
Patty, I'm not sure about that, because if you look at Latimer's history, he's never returned punts in college or the NFL. He's done it. He's done kickoff return, but he's never done punts. So I'm a little miffed.
They might train him though on that though, Ed, because like I said, with kickoff returns, I don't know that there's that much of a priority for kickoff returns, because like you said, you know, kickers are booming the ball out of the back of the end zone. The rules are changing. You know, I have a feeling, and you know, this might be something we ask Thomas McGahee next time he speaks, but is there more of an emphasis now on developing a punt returner over a kickoff returner?
Yeah, it is. It is definitely, you know, a point worth considering. I do know that something Michael Thomas said in the spring is something that bounces around in the back of my mind. And he said that he thought that because of the new blocking rules, he thought that guys, at least early on, might bring more kicks out of the end zone, just because the kickoff team doesn't get the 5-yard running start anymore. So there's a theory that maybe there's going to be a little bit more room, you know, to bring the ball back. We may see how that plays out in the preseason, but you're probably right. The punt return role is a little bit more more important, perhaps, or maybe trending that way. You know, Hunter Sharp's a guy who might fit into that role. Khalif Raymond did it a little bit last year. If they can train Latimer to do it, I don't know if he's a guy who would do it, you know. But I'm not sure who else fits in that role. I mean, kickoff return wise, the interesting thing is going to be, would they dare put Saquon Barkley back there, you know, on occasion, you know, when maybe they're looking for a big play, or you know, they're going to bring the kickoff out no matter what. So I don't know that they'll do that. Pat Shurmur said that he would be in the mix, but I know that's one that every time Giants fans see Barkley back there, they're gonna hold their breath and hope that he comes through healthy.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of putting Saquon Barkley back there. I know he can do it, but look, they finally have a legitimate running back. Who can move the chains, help Eli Manning out, help the offense out. every time I hear about, oh, you know, the Giants are thinking about putting Saquon Barkley back there, they're thinking about putting, you know, Odell Beckham back there, I have visions of Jason Sehorn. And I lived through that, and it wasn't fun to see that happen. You never want to see that happen to anybody, but the point is when you have a key player and you're putting him at risk, you know, and again, I know that sounds terrible, and I don't mean to minimize the value of, you know, Hunter Sharp or any of the guys who might get that job, but I just believe that there are certain guys that you shouldn't consider putting back there, even if it's just for a spark, that you have to hope that the guys you do put back there will give you the spark that they need and that they don't need that little boost, if you will.
Sure, Patty. That's why a guy like Dwayne Harris, when he was at his best, was so valuable for the Giants, you know, because he would take those hits and he would make the plays and he was able to help the Giants get some field position. But I think all of that wore on him eventually, you know, and last year, obviously, he wasn't nearly as productive. So, you know, I'm looking at Hunter Sharp as a guy that's probably going to be the first, or at least I would say get the first opportunity. You know, but every time you exchange kicks, I guess the point is you have to come up with a way not to be going backwards and not to be losing field position to the team that you're playing against.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a big problem for the Giants, but it's a new era. You know, Thomas McGahee, you know, I know he worked with Tom Quinn years ago. I think they were on staff together when they won the first championship in 2007. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that unit overall, the philosophies and everything, how it just changes.
Sure it will, Patty. And with that said, Giants fans, I think that that we've pretty much covered special teams, all of the various issues that the Giants might face this coming season. That pretty much wraps up our position-by-position previews here at Locked On Giants. Check out LockedOnGiants.com if you missed any of them, if you want to go back and give them a listen. We would appreciate that, and we always appreciate you guys listening to us. Following Patty at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. Following my work at Big Blue View. With that said, Giants fans, we are pretty much ready for kickoff, pretty much ready for training camp, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now. I thought that was a pretty good spot to wrap up.
Yep, I thought that was really good.